That again, it's me every time. Yeah. So, any fans or listeners that feel like sorting us out with a new theme tune or intro,
please help. Yeah.
Episode number two
has just been completed. It's about 50 minutes long.
It was a good one.
It was a good one. Yeah, I felt it flowed a lot more.
It's a long one, it's definitely got some gems hidden in.
Yeah, definitely, especially towards the end. So you got to stick it out. Sorry, sorry guys.
All the actionable steps are towards the end. So
no skipping either.
No, it's a good one. We talk about. I mean, we can share. So obviously, we begin with our gratefulness and you know. The impact you guys have. Yeah, and I mean, just real, again, you know, our listeners has been awesome. You guys have provided incredible insight and input, so we appreciate that. So we talk about the power of society, sports clubs, and communities, and the situations and opportunities they create for you.
Yep, and just through them, they provide this kind of avenue that you might be aware of, just in order to, you know, travel the world, basically. I talk a little bit about how sailing has helped me to travel.
You talk a lot.
Yeah, a lot. I'm sorry about that. But we talk a lot about it and how basically through societies you can try to minimize your costs and just kind of, you know, travel the world.
We talk a lot about sailing. But that means you guys should apply it in your own setting, how it applicable
to your own sport or your own club. It doesn't have to be same, like you said.
Exactly.
So I hope you guys like it. Episode 2. Please keep the positivity coming.
Yeah. Give it a listen. Give it a like. It give
helps,
it a share.
You know, we're so happy that we can provide some bit of value.
Exactly.
So episode 2. Enjoy.
And like we said in the previous one, if it helps just one person,
we've made a difference.
It's worth doing. Enjoy. Awesome. Peace out. Enjoy. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up?
To the present podcast
number two.
I'm excited.
I'm absolutely pumped. More pumped than the last one, I think. I think just all the feedback we've gotten has been uplifting, I think.
It's been rather incredible, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've got posts from friends and just totally unexpected because we just started this out and, you know, it was a bit of a wild venture, but yeah, just absolutely chuffed with the feedback, so thank you to you guys. Listen.
Yeah, I mean, we begin with gratefulness. Yeah, we've been.
That's our core, you know.
And yeah, you guys have been awesome. Like Adam says, we've had discounts given, we've had jobs offered, and social norms have been broken. Yeah. So we have felt the impact of our very first podcast from you guys, and we're absolutely delighted to hear that it's impacted your lives in some way, shape, or form.
That's it.
And we're even more grateful for the recommendations and input you've had on trying to make us bigger and better for this new podcast.
Yeah, we are pumped for this one. Absolutely pumped. Mm. The topic of this one. Do you wanna?
The topic of this one. So, you're excited. Drum roll. I am excited. Give us a drum
I know
roll.
You're all excited as well. Everyone's pumped for the second one. So.
Coming after the break, we have...
Join us after the break.
The power of a society, sports club, or community, and the opportunities it creates.
Boom. Boom.
I've got a few things to say on this.
Yeah, go for it.
First, I want to touch back on last week's topic of the power of a smile.
Okay.
I've got a little anecdote for this and just the impact it created. So I don't think I've actually shared this with you yet.
I'm excited now.
A couple of days ago, I was having a bit of a shit day. It was been a long day, you know, like 12 hours of work and then blah, blah, blah. Everyone knows it, you know, one of those long, miserable days at work. And you come back home tired, nap on the couch.
Straight to bed.
Well, yeah, actually, I got up, showered, and then went out for some food. And I was just sitting in this Chicago pizza place, and which is infamous for its pizza. And had a couple of beers, so on and so on. I was just staring out the window into the street, you know.
Feeling sorry for
reflecting,
yourself.
Reflecting on life. And this elderly woman and our daughter walked by, and you know, I looked at them and they looked at me, and nothing was said. You know, there was no windows in between us as well, which made it a little bit more awkward. But right. And she came into the pizza place and so on and so on. And then on the way back out, I said, you know what, smile, you know, like, yeah. I'm going to smile, even if it hurts me, I'm going to smile. I'm in a miserable mood. I smiled at both of them, and, you know, they both smiled back and was like, oh, hey, like, how's your day going? You know,
like, nice.
And yeah, that was just it, you know, it melted my heart, you know, it just turned my day around. Yeah. It was incredible. And so, yeah, the power of a smile is just.
It can actually change your day completely.
It changes your day, exactly. So if you guys haven't smiled at some random or stranger, person on the tube, anyone today, get out there and do it.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, even if you smile at someone you know and you don't normally smile at them, they'll be like, what the hell's wrong with you, you know? They'll think something's up. But, yeah, it's definitely good to just, you know, crack a smile now and again, because it can actually turn your day upside down, really.
Indeed.
So what else have we got? Are we going to go straight into it?
Let's talk about a couple of things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Adam, you are, you know, a sports person, a club person, you know, with a big network and so on. I am too, with, you know, the
sailing and stuff.
Yeah, sailing club and, you know, so on and so on. You know, what's your thoughts on, you know, just first of all, let's start with ourselves. I mean, how has it impacted on you?
The sailing community,
or any societies, sports, any community.
Yeah, I definitely think sailing is definitely the biggest, has had the biggest impact on my life. Definitely, I think it goes back to transition year when I actually took up sailing because of you guys. You know,
which is for our foreign listeners, our fourth year in high school.
Yeah, so we're 15, 16.
We're 16, going on 17. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's basically just a year where you concentrate on what sports and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like a developmental year in between your, what they call A-levels or SATs.
Exactly.
And, yeah, leaving cert.
Yeah, so it kind of stems back to then. And because we live in the water, you know, I think most people take it for granted. So they don't really get into sailing, I think. So yeah, it stems back to then when I decided to actually do my instructorship. So I, you know, all my friends were sailing, you know, probably a year or two up to this, up to that year, and I hadn't, so I kind of felt like out of my depth and stuff. And I just remember one day they were calling out, you know, names for people to do instructorship courses, and I was like, you know what, I've done a small bit of sailing, and I'll throw my name down and see how we go. But yeah,
I like that. So just for me to pick up on there, you know, I've identified that. You had this attitude where, do you know what, YOLO, like, I'll throw my name down.
Yeah, definitely.
Continue.
Yeah, because, you know, I think there was like 8 or 10 of us that did it, but, you know, there was a split second in my head where I was like, you know, why would you ever put your name down? Like, you're never going to be, you know, at that level to actually teach people how to sail. But yeah, so I just went for it, and next thing it was like, you know, do your first aid, do your VHF radio.
Okay, so wait 2 seconds there. Yeah. So you've done a course that's given you additional qualifications, such as,
exactly,
like we said,
so your powerboat, you know, you're able to drive your powerboat.
Yeah, you've like got a powerboat license. Yeah, your first aid,
you know, like, what else? There's your VHF, so your radio
operator.
Yeah, so it's actually through that. Through the sailing, it's actually made me probably, you know, twice as qualified as I should be. You know, I have all these different various skills now that, you know, most people wouldn't have. It actually, I believe, like, putting my name down for that instructorship actually changed the entire course of my life, because now through, I think, basically through the J1 program, I think, because it's enabled me to travel a lot. This is my second summer away now, and both times I've been able to secure a job with like sailing clubs, yacht clubs, you know. So
yeah. Okay, so yeah. That's quite sailing specific. So let's just see how can it be applied to, you know, anything, you know. So yeah. I like to keep it broad, you know, societies, whether it be the Harry Potter Society. We've got one of those. Loughborough University. Yeah. Not laughing at the Harry Potter.
Yeah. No hater comments here.
You know, the electronics society, there's massive ones. Sports, now being if you're in university or if you're in like high school or something, you know, sport is quite prominent in those settings. A club, you know, whether it's a card club or chess or something like that. Yeah. Or just a community, you know, a community, like a community center that does like yoga or swim sessions or something similar like that.
Exactly.
You know, I don't think people realize what opportunities this creates.
Yeah, I totally agree. 100%.
And one of the biggest things I've found is it allows you or it forces you to have a balance. So. Yeah. You know, people are always out there being like, yeah, I'm working, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, I can't, oh, I don't have time for this. Mm-hmm. And that is our lies, you know, our BS, bullshit. Yeah, exactly. Don't believe it, you know.
Yeah.
If you have something you're passionate about and you want to do, you will make time for that, you know. So
I agree.
If you were to take one thing away from just this podcast, it would be, you know, having something on the side apart from your Monday 9-to-5 jobs that we work to live.
Yeah,
you know, and many of us probably listening even now are living to work.
Exactly.
Choosing something like one of those will give you something that, to be passionate for, you know, and it allows and forces you to do that.
Yeah, I think a typical example of that as well, I keep referring to sailing, but, you know, twice now I've been over to working at yacht clubs. And, you know, last year I was working on placement. I mentioned this in my last podcast, you know, I didn't really enjoy it. I'm doing something now that I actually really enjoy, you know, teaching sailing to kids, like outside on the water, and I'm getting more money. I'm getting paid more money than I was in the contact lens company in Ireland. You know, so like, I think saying that you have to stay in that, you know, desk job is just, again, like you said, is total BS.
Yeah.
You know, I think you've got to follow what you love. And then it'll actually pay off in the end. You know, if you keep working on your craft, keep trying to, you know, do your refresher courses for the instructorship, keep up to date with everything you're doing, and keep pushing yourself, keep surrounding yourself with people that, you know, elevate you, it can change your entire life, I think.
Now, that's quite a good topic you touched on there of people who elevate you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, elaborate.
Elaborate, okay, yeah. So, again, I keep going back to this sailing.
People are going to be sick of sailing. Yeah,
they're going to hate it. Everyone's going to be top class sailors now when I come back.
But this is our experience and knowledge.
Personal experience. So we're just trying to
share our personal experience and give some lessons.
Yeah. So definitely it goes back again to transition year. You know, I was like not too much playing soccer and stuff, but then, you know, you guys, a couple of my mates were all doing team racing, you know, like during the week, you know, you'd rig your boats up at lunch, have them ready to go even during the winter, you know, so you weren't wasting like sunlight. I surrounded myself with you guys, and you were actually, you know, one of the top sailing teams in Ireland, if not the world. You know, you got silver in the world's team racing championship. So
youth.
You know, because I was surrounded by all my friends and they were training all the time, you know, you get that rub off effect. I think it was in the Joe Rogan podcast as well. If any of you were like UFC fans, he talked about the rub you get off, you know, fighting Conor McGregor. It's, you know, because Conor McGregor is at a certain level and you fight him, he's going to raise your game for the next fight then. You know, you play that top class soccer team, or, you know, in my case, you sail with top class sailors. You're going to start to develop their qualities, and it's going to raise your game in turn, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah, you learn the tricks, don't you? Like,
exactly.
Even if you're losing,
yeah.
you know, which I had a sailing event this weekend just passed.
Yeah.
And I, you know, a lot of the people were ranked higher than me, more than half were ranked higher.
Okay.
And, you know, we were losing races, but it felt like we were winning because I was always learning something.
That's brilliant.
You know, you see new scenarios and new applicable situations.
Yeah.
That going forward, you can apply.
Yeah, that's cool.
Awesome. Yeah, so just on the whole scenarios it creates.
Yeah.
Being part of, you know, your, from now on we're going to call it your community, okay? So from being part of your community,
yeah.
It has a lot of, it has massive spin-off effects, you know? Yeah, so it dominates situations where it was never really meant to dominate. So yeah. I've been in a couple where, let's say, for instance, my driving test. So at the time I was wearing my sailing jacket and sat down with the driving test instructor.
Where were you doing it?
Skibbereen
by down in West Cork.
West Cork, shout out.
No better place, represent.
Yeah. What a best place to do a driving test.
Yeah.
I was sitting down with the driving instructor and he picked up on my jacket and he was like, you've got a sailing jacket on.
Yeah.
And this kind of comes back to the relatable situation in our episode one.
Yeah.
Where we spoke about being relatable, and we had this connection through sailing, and we were able to just, you know, totally bypass our current and present situation of this guy's here to take his driving test. The driving test was forgotten about, you know. I was out in the car and this guy just would not stop talking about sailing. I was probably running red lights and yield signs and shit, but this guy was just nonstop. It's incredible, you know. And lo and behold, I walked away with, one or two ticks and a pass driver test. That's brilliant. And I don't think he really cared that much.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's cool.
Yeah, and I know of people who have had job interviews in the past where their kind of hobbies has come up, someone's been able to relate, and then the job interview takes a total different turn away from the actual job, what the job is about, into what kind of person you are, you know, how all the skills you've learned through that community.
Is that recently? Is that
which
you found out, you know, about the job interview or being relatable?
Oh yeah, so with one of our listeners, one of our listeners had an interview, and one of our other listeners directed this young lass to the podcast.
Yeah,
I believe she listened to it all and picked up on the whole relatable aspect.
Yeah.
And so she was extremely relatable, I presume. And then the next day, it was the same afternoon, I think. She got offered the job.
That's
so
brilliant.
So yeah, big shout out to those people, thank you for sharing.
Cool. Just to know that it's working, you know, someone's actually taken something from the podcast and actually applied it as well. To a real life situation and actually gotten something out of it as well. It's pretty cool.
Mm, exactly.
Yeah.
For people who are in a society or community, this is a realization. You know, this is your slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You need to utilize your network.
Yeah.
You have to get out there, tap into your network, and, you know, make stuff happen.
Yeah, and I'm only realizing it now as well. You know, coming out of 4 years of college, looking back, the biggest, like, development stage, like, in myself, just for, like, confidence and, you know, like travel and stuff, was tying back to actually being involved in sailing and being able to work abroad.
Mm.
It just, like, it changes your outlook and everything, I think. And, you know, I went on my own as well. I think a lot of people are caught up in, you know, going in groups of 10 or, you know, 12, that's fine. But I think you actually can learn a lot more if you travel, not to say to travel on your own, but I think when you travel on your own, you'll learn 10 times more about yourself as well. And you're not afraid to be alone then as well, if you get what I mean. Because we've both done it, haven't we?
Yeah, I think it just chucks you into the deep end. You know, exactly. It's like being thrown into the deep end with no floaties or whatever they're called, and you know, learning to swim. You know, there's no fallback. You know, your mum's not going to come save you. Your dad's probably not going to fly and find you. You know, so it's it creates skills and it develops you as a person.
Yeah. So just to reiterate that again, it's, you know, it's not too late if you're still in college. You know, just tap into your society. You know, are there opportunities to travel? If there are, I'm telling you now, do everything you can to travel abroad with a society or a group or your community. It will change your life.
But I think it goes one more step than just college. You know, I think this goes from college all the way up to
even graduating,
jumping into your coffin to go into the grave. You know, I mean, if it's as simple as joining your community, yoga session, you know, and this is, you know, and I'm applying this directly to my own mother, who I know will be listening to this.
Yeah.
She makes excuses that she doesn't go to this yoga because she has no time,
okay,
and she's so tired, and it's utter BS.
Yeah.
So, mother,
Jane won't be happy.
Mother, I'm telling you right now, go and join that that yoga community, because it will create more than just flexible muscles.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Moving on.
Cool.
Changing gears. So, what other powers does this create? And for me, I think it gives you the ability to juggle. Not actual juggle balls, but juggle time commitments, essentially. So, another anecdote, our sailing club at Loughborough University is probably dominated by, you like that one, did you?
Yeah, I enjoyed that too much.
Yeah, our sailing club's dominated by about 60% engineering or STEM degrees. So, you know, the degree itself is quite heavily laden in terms of work and time commitments and so on.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you've got your sailing events on the weekend. events on the weekend, like Saturdays and Sundays. So you're essentially working, you know, Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. till 12 p.m. All day on your degree, and then Saturday, Sunday, you're you know, away at a sailing event, more than likely training during the week as well. So you have a massive time management schedule to implement. You know, you have to be able to get all your deadlines done, get all your coursework in, and so on, do all your presentations. But people who say that it can't be done, you know, it's wrong. You know, there's millions of examples of people out there that can do it.
Yeah, because your course is like 40, you have something like 30, 40 hours a week.
Yeah, first and second years have about, between 30 to 40 hours of lecture time a week, or contact time.
That's as much as a real-time job, basically, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
9 to 5, every single day.
And then
you still get time to travel the UK. Sorry, I keep interrupting, but to travel the UK, get to these sailing events, and still get your coursework in.
Yeah.
You know?
And don't get me wrong, sometimes it's not the most sociable, like you spend, you know, ridiculous hours in labs, you know, doing work.
Yeah.
But all STEM degrees, and I'm sure all other degrees are like this, like business, I mean, you know, you've probably got quite intensive hours. You're laughing.
Not quite as intensive as engineering, but it's still,
you know,
you still have to make that balance. You still have to make time for yourself and, you know, do what you love, I think. You know?
Yeah. And I kind of, this year, as like my third or fourth year of captain of the sailing team, one of the freshers who was, you know, a good sailor, was looking to join the team, and we were more than willing to try and bring him through the, you know, the club and the ranks and train him up and stuff. And then just as randomly get this message saying, you know, I'm not going to be able to come to training anymore. I'm going to have to leave it off. And I was like, oh, that's really disappointing. Like, why so? And he's like, well, I've just got too much work to do. You know, I've got too much work to do at university. And I was like, okay, well, what degree do you use? Like, aeronautical engineering, which, you know, is a lot of intensive work. But at the end of the day, there's people in the club who have come through, you know, come through the, you know, first, second, third, all up to fifth year, yeah. being able to juggle. And employers look for that. And that's just one of the arguments I had was, you know, if you can do both, employers and colleagues and people who are looking to invest in you will realize that you have the ability to do two things at once, you know? Yeah,
definitely.
And yeah, I think it makes you a better person.
Great point. Yeah, yeah. I totally agree with that.
You know, like, I mean, did your job interview with your placement or anything like that involve any of the skills that you learned from?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I would say, because I played soccer with my university team, you know, like you said, from first year all the way up till fourth year.
Mm.
So like we trained, it was like 2 hours on a Monday night, and then we'd have a game on Wednesday, like a practice game. And then some weekends we could have trainings as well, but without fail, we'd have a game every single week, and they go on during class time, you know, so you have to be able to kind of reschedule and kind of shuffle your whole, you know, work schedule. You need to be able to study different times. And I definitely think, like you said, employers look at that. And
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I definitely think that the biggest thing that came out of it was definitely teamwork, I think, because, you know, I worked in teamwork and communication, I think, are the two biggest things as well, because I worked as a team of 1 in 10, you know, there was 10 in the finance team.
Mm.
But you need to have just so much clarity when it comes to communication when working in a team like that. It is slightly different, obviously, working in a soccer team to a finance team, because when you're dealing with, you know, checks and large amounts of cash, you need to make transfers for different kind of, you know, businesses and stuff. You need to have things done on time. And if there's a problem, you need to let someone know, you know.
Yeah.
It can be the same in soccer, you know, if you don't let your, you know, your teammate know that, you know, you need to get back, or, you know, the opposition, they're going to score, you know. So if you don't, if you don't have clear communication in your teams, you know, the consequences can be fatal. So I definitely think joining a society, a club, it'll actually help you with that.
Yeah. And I think they're kind of like buzzwords that everyone just like throws down on their CV as well. You know, I mean,
all great communication skills.
But yeah. I mean, if we were to look at 80% of people listening right now, CV, I guarantee teamwork and communication are the two buzzwords they've probably gotten there.
Definitely.
But my question to you as a listener is, can you pick one or two examples of effective, not just an example of I've did it, look, here's teamwork, but an effective example of teamwork or communication, you know? And I don't know, you might be the one or two in 8, 9, 10 that has that example, but I can guarantee there's some people out there that have thrown it on but they can't. But what will allow you to be able to give two examples of that is by joining a community. I kind of wanted, so I obviously feel that funding and, you know, people our age, you know, the money aspect is quite a big driver for us.
Yeah, 100%.
It can be an inhibitor, as in it stops us doing stuff.
Yeah.
And it can also be a promoter as well.
Exactly. Because I definitely think being, just tying back to the, you know, say the 18 to 22 year olds at college, you know, tying back to that, it can be a very expensive kind of period in your life. You know, you're paying for rent, you're paying for fees, you're paying for food, you're paying for all sorts of things. But yeah, I think one example where we can give from joining a society or a club, the sailing again, we're boring you to death, but through the sailing, we've been able to secure a job. Okay, they're paying us well, and then not only that, they're actually, you know, housing us. You know, they're giving us, we're speaking, we're doing this podcast right now in the place they set us up in.
Mm.
And it's absolutely, it's brilliant, like, because what it does is it allows you to kind of minimize your costs as much as possible, I think. What do you think? Would you agree? Or
definitely. So, I mean, I think we should come back to that aspect just a little bit later of demands. Yeah. You know, I think let's begin with first traveling. You know, how can we get to travel? And I mean, I've got a relatively good historic travel path through my club or community.
Okay.
So, yeah, growing up in you know, Skull, Ireland, West Cork, with the sailing team there, you know, you were traveling to different random places in Ireland for like national events, like national championships and so on. Mm-hmm. And then,
because you went on your trip, didn't you, to America?
Yeah, so, we went, in high school we went on a tour of America, the East Coast of America, to, I think at the end of it, it was like 6 or 7 different schools, you know? And this was subsidized, partially subsidized by the school, you know, the school that we were with. And the way it kind of, the trip was structured, that was the fact that we'd go over there and we'd have to obviously pay for a minibus to travel and so on, but we were always put up in the houses of the teams we visited, or we were given a place to stay.
Cool.
You know, so you'd be surprised the opportunities that you get provided just by the kindness of people's hearts, you know. And it's important for us as a community to offer kindness in return.
Yeah,
you know, definitely. To allow the same opportunities for the likes of me and you looking to travel to a place that we've never been before. You know, if the person doesn't have a place to stay, you know, that can be a big problem for them.
Yeah,
but it can be an easy solve for you. You know, the floor, you know, that's exactly all someone's looking for, more than likely.
Definitely.
So yeah, so we traveled to America. And when I was, you know, was it 16?
Yeah.
16 or so. And then I went to university in the UK, and like I said before, every weekend we were traveling to a different venue.
Yeah.
And I mean, through the sailing club, we had a good structure of, you know, each sailor paid about £10. We left on a Friday night, and the £10 covered the fuel to a regatta. The entry cost to the regatta was paid for by the club. We'll come back onto like the funding aspect. Then the accommodation was given by the university, you know, of teams we were staying at and so on. And then gradually, you know, this kind of snowballs and soon you're covering all of the UK. And then doors open to travel more, you know, to travel to farther flung places.
Because you've been to a few events now over Europe and stuff, haven't you?
Yeah, so I have, and that kind of ties back to a different point of setting goals and achievements within, you know, your community and club.
Yeah.
So I know I'm kind of jumping between a couple of different things here, but if you set, you know, some goals that may be higher than you expect to achieve, it still has an effect where you may not achieve that goal, but it certainly will open some other doors.
Yeah, definitely.
Would you agree? You know, could you look at some examples of the past where you've set a high goal?
Yeah, definitely. But it ties back to the instructorship again. You know, I was there, my main sport that I played was soccer, and I was like, okay, I'm going to put myself down for this instructorship, and then I'm just going to, because I think attitude is everything when it comes to these things, you know. If you think you can or you can't, you're probably right, you know. So definitely, putting yourself out of your comfort zone to actually achieve something is definitely the beginning of, you know, just something new.
Yeah, awesome. So yeah, I mean, set your goals high, and I can guarantee you may not achieve them. However, you will open other doors that you never even thought existed. Yeah. And this kind of then led on to the fact that, you know, I set a goal within my sailing club. I haven't achieved it yet, but between when I set that goal and now, so many doors has opened that has changed my life significantly. And then this, you know, these doors opening has led to being able to travel to Europe, America, part of like teams, mm-hmm. and you know, now in September, Australia.
Yeah, what's your goal?
To essentially win the Team Racing Nationals at University Nationals. So it's a small goal.
Yeah.
But the kind of drive and the hard work of that goal has profited in many other ways.
In different aspects. Yeah.
In different aspects. You know, I've even delved into this different discipline.
Yeah.
But that different discipline has given me, you know, avenues to explore. Essentially. So, you know, setting small goals can have massive growth. Mm-hmm. So coming back to the funding aspect, so the benefits of being part of a society, sport, club, community is through paying your membership, it allows the club then to subsidize any travel or events you may do, you know? So there's societies out there that have grants and funds. There's organizations, government organizations, that have budgets set aside for people that, you know, are loan funds, or their university don't have the funding right now to pay for them to, you know, create and develop and grow and travel and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to butt in for 2 seconds as well. Time back to playing soccer in Limerick, in the University of Limerick in Ireland. With our budget, I think it was in third year, so 2 years ago, our budget was... I think roughly 10,000 for the year. I think we used to get a lot of stick because it was something like is it Extreme Frisbee, or what do you call it? What's that society?
Ultimate Frisbee.
Ultimate Frisbee. They had more budget than us because they were winning stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But then the next year we actually won. We won some second tier tournament that year, and our funding got doubled.
Okay.
The next year, you know, so
yeah,
it's again, yeah, it ties back to setting that goal. Even if you get some silverware, it mightn't be the goal you're reaching, but it was, you know, in this case, we got knocked out of the main tournament, got sent into the tier two one, won that, and our funding's doubled. So, you know, we got to actually like travel a lot more, didn't have to pay for kits or anything like that. So yeah, that's definitely one kind of aspect is to shoot. Shoot for the high goal, but even if you don't hit it, it can still positively, you know, impact you.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
Awesome, man.
You hate that word.
I refuse to say it. I'm not saying it.
Cool. So let's talk about actionable steps for you guys listening right now to just jump out there and implement.
Yeah.
Number one, join a club or society. If you are not part of a community, club, society, this is your wake-up call.
Yeah.
Join something now.
I think it ties back to just decide. Just make a decision. Like, if you're not doing anything, if all you do is work and then you go out and, you know, it's fine. I have no problem with it. Go out and, you know, drink at the weekends. That's fine. That's what you want to do. That's all cool. But if you're, you know, sick of doing the same shit every single weekend, just... decide, look up lists of, you know, even if you have to travel 20 minutes away from where you are. If you're living in a city, there's loads of things going on that you don't even realize. You just have to look up on your phone, on your laptop, about, you know, different stuff that's going on. Like the people you meet at these different societies, like completely different to, you know, your own friends. And it's good, I think, to actually...
It opens your mind, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it makes you think in a different way. If you're not... necessarily just with your friends all the time, who you're all kind of vibrating on the same level, and you join a club, society, or community, people are vibrating on all different types of levels.
Exactly.
You know, and
they'll be welcome, you know. If you join a club, people will only be happy to have you, you know,
because they're set up that way. They're
exactly.
Always looking for membership and growth. Exactly. Number two, build your network. So this ties back to the last podcast of, you know, having the right attitude, manner, approach, being relatable.
Remembering their name, you know, aspect, like tying one feature or aspect of that person to their name to make it easier for you to actually remember their name, you know. Connor the Sailor.
Exactly. So
that's how I'm going to remember.
Yeah, I'll be sick of that now by the end of this podcast. So, yeah, Build your network within your club or society. This will make it easier for you to avail of different opportunities. I can't remember. So when I was on placement, I had this real brief networking course from Accenture.
Cool.
And the guy looked like Robin Williams. It was actually hilarious. But he said one thing, and it was when you're at like an event where everyone doesn't really know each other and everyone's a bit shy, and you're in like a social setting within chatting to a couple of people or something like that, and you're looking around and you know there's people that are looking at you and they're a bit scared and stuff
hesitant.
You know, it's recommended to just go out and introduce yourself to them there and then. You make eye contact. You
count to three and just do it.
You walk over because it's almost guaranteed that they are more scared than you at that period of time they are alone.
Yeah.
You know, so like people are scared to introduce themselves because they're shy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, you know, so if you have that power of people are alone and you're both on the same level of loneliness, you know. You're both scared, so you've got nothing to lose.
Exactly. Yeah.
You
may as well do it.
Yeah, and that person, you know, the person that may be alone whilst you're chatting to a couple other people, will be forever grateful.
You've
plucked them out of the horrible situation of not knowing anyone into a group where you can just chat. Now, don't get me wrong, that guy might be the most boring other person in the world.
Yeah.
But you know, you've done your good deed for the day, and you may meet someone incredible.
I can actually tie, you know, experience to that as well. I think it was the Tony Robbins seminar I went to in January, and I'm pretty sure I actually met one guy there. He was rough. I think he was 1 or 2 years older than me, but hands down, we were the two youngest people at the seminar, like hands down. Mm-hmm. So I had to get the bus up from like Cork City at like 2 a.m, didn't sleep. It like registration was like 7 o'clock in the morning or something in Dublin, and I just remember walking up to the convention center and I was like, oh Jesus, you know, looking at everyone in their like suits and stuff. So again, it ties back to kind of like being out of place or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just remember looking at this one guy and I'm like, okay, he kind of looks like my age, you know, and he looked at me. And then, like you said, like within a couple of seconds, you know, I just kind of mentioned one thing. I was like, oh, have you been to any seminars before or something like that? You know, got chatting to the guy.
Yeah.
And we spent, you know, the whole day together. So I made like a really good contact. And
best buds.
Yeah, it was actually, you know, it was good. It kind of, again, it ties back to being out of your comfort zone and just not being afraid to, you know, approach someone.
Yeah.
I think, you know, because you've got nothing to lose. And I think the main thing that's going through your head as you approach someone is, oh, what if they don't like me? What if they, you know?
Yeah, who cares? You know,
it's your image, your self-image, you know? So I don't think there's anything to be afraid of there. You know, just go for it.
And I like that quote, you know, you've got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You know, your reputation is not going to be hurt by just introducing yourself to a random person.
Exactly.
Number 3, grow or build your skills.
Yeah.
Upon joining your community. And I like how you've kind of touched on through the total immersion aspect. So you says you didn't necessarily have the needed skills to do the course.
Yeah, exactly.
Or join the team or mm-hmm. something like that. But yet you just says, I'm going for it. Exactly. Yeah. You put your name down and you went for it.
Yeah.
And that kind of had that total immersion aspect where you're just like, I'm out of my depth.
Yeah.
But I think being out of your depth makes you learn 2 times, 3 times harder than everyone else.
It does. It drives you so much, you know. It ties back to, you know, I've done like 2 tough mudders, and like the first time I did it, I signed up and I was like, I have no idea how I'm going to do this, you know. But once you just say yes to it, everything will start falling into place.
Mm. Brilliant. Step number 4, adopt a never say no attitude. So you will be asked to do stuff, to do events and, you know, tasks and chores and
voluntary stuff. You might not get paid for it, but you'll still, you know, it'll be good to show up, you know.
Yeah.
Help out.
And this kind of attitude, you know, having this attitude gives you massive positive impacts. This weekend, you know, I've been working 15, 16 days in a row now.
Yeah.
This weekend I got asked to sell this match racing event in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I really couldn't be arsed.
Yeah.
You know, Friday at work, I was like, I'm so tired, I want to just go home. But, you know, I had that never say no attitude. So I just says, yeah, why not do it?
Definitely.
And I've done it. And the amount of people I've met, you know, and the amount of stuff I've learned over the past 2 days from just saying yes instead of no has been invaluable. You know, I'll never be able to get that by spending 15 days training, you know. That 1 day or 2 days of just saying, you know, getting involved in total immersion has made it, you know, so much easier.
That's a good point. I like that.
Number five, begin utilizing your network. So for those of you that are in one, or those of you that are going to join a community very shortly, once you've built your network, then you can begin utilizing it. Now, this can happen as soon as you get there on day one. You know, it doesn't have, you know, your network is forever growing. You're forever building your network. So you can utilize it as much as you want. You know, from the day you're born, you have a network.
Definitely, yeah.
And you can do this by, you know, going to events, trips, and, you know, getting some funding, etc. You know, so, you know, look around, you know, see, you know, what can each individual here, you know, help me? How can they help me? How can I help them? You know, how can I give back to them?
And you they're closer than you think as well, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
It could be, you know, the first person you meet at that new society. Don't overlook anyone.
Yeah, so, I mean, for instance, let's just say, okay, Adam, let's create a quick scenario. Adam, I'm looking for some funding for my sailing team for this event. Do you know, do you have anything that...
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know? Yeah, we've got a team going, you know, traveling next week to... or in a month time to Spain, you know.
Okay, also you've got a team, so that means you're part of a yacht club.
Exactly.
Yeah, does that yacht club have you know, charities, or does it have a funding for, like?
Yeah, we do a lot of charity work as well, and we're actually looking for volunteers. You know?
Oh, excellent. Okay, see.
Would you be interested?
No.
That's how you go about it.
Joke, just kidding.
Never say no attitude. There you go. Prime example. So, yeah, you can see what we mean, you know. Just one conversation can change everything. So, you know, you might have this kind of pre-made out, premeditated image of this person that you're looking at, you know. You may judge this person, you know, judge a book by its cover. And you just, you don't know who that person knows. You know, there's that saying, you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. I definitely believe in that, I think.
It's not gospel. It's not gospel, but I do believe in it.
But the way of, you know, growth and the way of getting to travel and stuff is through other people.
Yeah, exactly. Number six, and not necessarily our final step, but our closing step on our actionable steps, is find a resource that allows you to showcase or broadcast your skill to open more doors, earn new money, have more fun, you know, be yourself. You know, find something that allows you to do that. And I mean, you touched on a website that essentially had a listing of jobs. For the skill you had.
Exactly, yeah. So say it was, I think it was, because Connor's been on a J1 before as well, but he went the year before me, so it was kind of good to, you know, have a point down here. It's getting, if you want to do the things, like if you want to travel through your society and stuff, get in touch with people that have already done it before. So in my case, I was talking to Connor. He gave me some points and stuff. He told me, go on to this website. Sail One Design was the website. It has job advertisements and stuff. You know, you do up your CV. You send your CV out. They, if they like it, you know, you'll get a Skype interview. And, you know, it's just, it's a great way of actually being able to travel through our society, I think, Sail One Design.
Yeah.
So it's the hardest part is finding the, you know, the applicable resource to actually look at. And in our case, it was like Sail One Design.
A website.
Exactly.
And so just coming back to that, that's actually a good point on where you mentioned earlier about demands. So that was a website looking for people to do this job. Yeah. So they're looking for you. At the end of the day, they are looking for you.
Yeah.
So it's important that you have some demands, or criteria that you need fulfilled in order for you to fulfill their task. So for us, you know,
it's your basic, you know,
It's your basic package that you're looking for. And then this relates back to the inhibitors. You know, what's inhibiting you from doing something?
Yeah.
So just let's just say accommodation and funding. Okay, yeah. That's the two things that could inhibit us coming over here. So when I applied to this job in Chicago, the only two things I cared about, the only two things that I asked for in return for whatever they wanted me to do was some free accommodation and a decent salary to make it worthwhile for paying for visas and flights and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you know, don't be shy to ask for what you need. Mm-hmm. You know? Definitely. If you're out there and you need something, and people are looking for you to fulfill a role, just say, this is what I need. I'm not too picky, but if you can fulfill this, I will come to you. You know, I will do what you need me to do.
Finding that compromise, definitely. Yeah, it's important.
Awesome.
Cool. So that wraps it about up, I think, does it?
Yeah, that wraps up our power of society, sport club, and communities.
Yeah.
Do you have any closing thoughts, statements,
closing thoughts,
questions?
Definitely, yeah. I'm just, this is the, all the people sitting on the fence, I think. I know I was in the same position a couple of years back. You know, I'm like, oh, I really want to do this. You know, I've seen a couple of my friends do it. It's to all of you like sitting on the fence, it's definitely, because I was actually writing a few notes, and I went to the beach yesterday and was writing some notes, and it reminded me of 2 years ago when I traveled on my own. And I was sitting there and it was like 90 degrees Fahrenheit, so I don't know what, like 30 Celsius 32, plus.
Yeah, 32, 33.
You know, I'm on my own, I'm listening to some music, I got my journal, I got my pen, and I couldn't help but just feel really grateful for, you know, everything that's led up to this moment. So I want to just say thank you to everyone, that even my parents, they give you that push, your friends, they give you that push to, you know, you're talking to them about this idea and they're like, you know what, you should go for it.
Mm.
So it's definitely just a touch on being grateful, and traveling allows you definitely, in my experience, to actually feel greater levels of gratitude and appreciation. And
I think you experience the cultures, you know, the cultures shows you the difference from what you're doing right now to what they're currently doing, you know, and that kind of disparity between the two, you know, invokes gratefulness.
Definitely. And I think as well, what it does, being away from home, you know, just trying to find yourself, actually, I think brings to the surface like your highest values, your highest like priorities, you know. So, you know, even just that phone call you get from that friend, or, you know, I definitely think one of my highest values is actually just a phone call, just getting in touch with that one person that you haven't spoke to in a couple of weeks, couple of months. So I definitely think travel just, you know, it surfaces that again, and it just brings to the surface your highest values, really. You know, when would you have ever thought that a phone call would be among your highest priorities, you know?
So
I think that's pretty much it.
So our closing question to our listeners, first of all, thank you for listening. Secondly, what are you most grateful for today, and what is your highest value?
I think that's pretty much it.
That wraps it up.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Episode 2 complete. Pretty pumped.
Yeah.
What was that, 50 minutes? It felt like 5.
It did. And so just touching back, share with your friends, tell the good shit, I don't know.
Even if it's one thing you take from this, just, you know, share it. You don't have to listen to the whole thing. We hope you do. But, you know, if you're listening and if 5 minutes in you get something good and you're like, you know what, I'm going to try implementing that today, do that.
Definitely. Check out the Facebook page, The Present. Check out the website, www.the-present.club.
Yep.
And we will see you soon for episode 3.
Legends.